Just a few brief words about the gospel. This is one of the more confusing gospel passages in the synoptic tradition. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, we hear Jesus tell this same prophecy. In Matthew chapter 24, from which you just heard, Mark 13, and Luke 21. With little difference, Jesus says, in all three of these Gospels, the record of this prophecy. And at the end, in all three, we hear Him say, I tell you, this generation shall not pass away until all of these things take place. Well, this generation in Matthew's Gospel is this generation, as it's been throughout the Gospel, that is the Jews of the time in the first century who heard Jesus' preaching in Galilee and in Judea and now in Jerusalem. Right? He has just entered into Jerusalem, as we celebrated yesterday. He came into the temple and found it wanting. It did not have what it was supposed to have. And then he went out of the temple as the disciples were looking at the beautiful gold and things that Herod had put on everything. He told them that not one stone would be left upon another. And then he crossed the Kidron Valley and went up and sat on the Mount of Olives, looking at the temple. Then his disciples came to him and asked him this question, when will these things take place? Not one stone will be left upon another. And it is then that Jesus gives this prophecy. Many people hear these words and think that this is a prophecy about the end of the world. But there are major problems with that interpretation. First of all, this is not how the fathers of the church interpreted it. Second, there are a number of internal indicators that make that impossible as the primary interpretation. Jesus had said in the beginning, not one stone would be left upon another. Now, when was not one stone left upon another? Some of you are from this region. Does anyone recall what year that happened? 70, right? AD 70. At the end of this prophecy, Jesus says, I tell you, this generation shall not pass away until all, not some, all of these things take place. Now, how long is a generation, a biblical generation? Do you recall?
100 years.
Huh?
14.
Oh, close.
Biblical.
A biblical generation in the Bible. Anyone remember?
40.
40 years. Now, when did Jesus give this prophecy? Well, it was sometime in the early 30s. Usually about 30, 31, 32, somewhere around there. You might date it. 40 years later, Jerusalem was destroyed. Why did God wait for 40 years to do this? Because we worship a merciful God. He waited for the entire 40 years until the Christians could preach the gospel throughout Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and everyone had had a chance to hear the prophecies, hear the words of the Lord. And then, at the 40-year mark, not one stone was left upon another. You might say, I don't know, I remember seeing the Wailing Wall on TV, or those of you from there. Well, the Wailing Wall, this is part of the foundation, this is the fill rock that Solomon had put there to fill in between the rock of, or the Mount Moriah and the other little hills there. That's the foundation flat area. But the actual foundation of the temple itself is the stone that is under today, the Dome of the Rock. This is the tip, the bedrock, the threshing floor of Ornan originally, the Jebusite. And this is where the temple was built, in that very spot where the Dome of the Rock is today. And so, as Jesus said, not one stone was left upon another. 40 years later, the Romans came and they destroyed that place. There are a number of other internal indicators. As you read, it says, those who are in Judea flee to the hills. If this is the end of the world, what's fleeing to the hills going to do for you? And why does it matter if you're in Judea or not? Unless we're talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Then you want to flee to the hills. What does it matter if you're with child in those days? Or nursing, as it says. Or it's on the Sabbath or in the winter. Who cares if the end of the world comes in the winter on a Saturday? It'd be a nice time. I don't like winter. I'd like the end of the world to come in winter. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. When you're in the hill country of Judea, especially up in Jerusalem, in the middle of the winter it can snow. Imagine having to flee Jerusalem with your wife and kids, persecuted by the Jews. In the middle of winter, where are you going to go? There's no Hilton, no Best Western, Motel 6. You have to go out into the hills, in the cold, in the snow. Imagine if you have a wife. In those days, she's pregnant or she's nursing, it says. Or imagine if it's on the Sabbath. Right? What happens if you go into one of the more conservative neighborhoods in Jerusalem on the Sabbath, driving your car today? Right? Well, they throw rocks at you. Try to kill you. Right? Can you imagine? Right? Leaving your house with your wife and kids, trying to grab a few things, carrying, which you weren't allowed to, a bunch, you know, a few bags and things, and slipping out early Sabbath morning, right? Yaakov, your neighbor, looks at you. Where are you going? Oh, nowhere, right? You know you have to be at the synagogue soon. You could get killed. It's cold. It's dangerous. What about the sun and the moon and the stars? This is a stock prophecy from the Old Testament. Every one of the prophets who prophesied about the destruction of a city or a nation said those very words. For your homework, if you want to go home and read about this, Isaiah 13 is a wonderful example of a prophecy about the destruction of Babylon by the Medo-Persian Empire, which uses this very same language. Earthquakes and wars and sun, the moon, the stars. What does it mean the sun, the moon, the stars will fall from the sky or be darkened? When were they created? On the fourth day, Genesis chapter 1, we heard about the creation of the lights, right? The lights were to give light upon the earth so that man could tell time, days and months and years, seasons and things. And so if they cease to give their light, time is up. This is a metaphor, prophetic metaphor, for the end of time for a nation or a people. The prophets used it all over the place in the Old Testament for the prophecy of the destruction of Egypt, Babylon, etc. And so Jesus uses this same language. Flee to the hills. Where did you hear that in the Old Testament? Lot was told to flee to the hills. This is a prophetic way of saying Jerusalem has become like Sodom and Gomorrah and it will be destroyed. The Son of Man riding on the clouds with His angels and His glory. The Son of Man ascends to the throne of His Father. This is Daniel chapter 7 verse 13. And receives all power and dominion. And then His angels, these are His apostles, apostolos, angelos, same thing in the Greek, the same idea, were sent out to gather the elect from the four winds. That is, from all nations. So, the prophecy is first and foremost about the destruction of Jerusalem, and of course, that took place just as Jesus said it did. It would. But why do we read it today, 2,000 years later? What does this have to do with us, here in Los Gatos? 2017, Holy Monday. Because very early on, the church also saw in the prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem an example of how God judges those who are wicked, right? And who have received opportunity after opportunity, have heard the gospel, and yet refused to repent. Throughout the history of the church, we have seen this passage looked at as an example of God's judgment. Not only upon the wicked of Jerusalem who will crucify the Messiah, but also upon those who choose to not accept His word throughout all of salvation history. And so let us be like the faithful in Jerusalem who heard the word of God, received it into their heart, were baptized and chrismated and received His body and blood, and fled Jerusalem. Let us flee this world this world of wickedness, flee and cross the Jordan as they did to the city of Pella to be safe during this time. For the Lord will not forsake His loved ones. May God bless you.